Hey, Chuck, look at this.
What is it, Dan?
It's a telegram from Hector. I just got it from his secretary. And listen to this. It says, "Dear fellas, heard the first broadcast of the Hector Q. Peabody show last week. Sorry I couldn't be present, but I had just left on a 2-week vacation and could not make it. Back for third broadcast, signed, Hector Q. Peabody."
Is that all? Doesn't he say anything about how he liked the show after we took over for him, you know?
Oh, yeah, here it is, at the bottom. It says, "P.S., please have someone else substitute for me next week."
What? Well, how do you like that? We practically go crazy taking over the program at the last minute, and then he just about comes right out and tells us he doesn't like it. Of all the nerve, you know, that's friendship for you. If he had done the same for me, I'd... Hector Q. Peabody Show.
I'm Dan McGuire.
And this is Chuck Shaden, and we're sitting in here for Hector Q. Peabody, who isn't with us again.
Well, Chuck, don't be so mad. I mean, after all, we'd like to take over for Hector. It's a good program.
Yeah, sure, but such ungratefulness. Let's see if you can get somebody else for the next show.
Oh, listen, wait till we get into the first bit we've got here. It's a real nice adventure story. You'll like it.
No, I'm... Oh, play a record, will you, Joe?
Time now for another episode in the career of that mastermind private detective, Shamrock Bones, created for radio by Stan Laurel and Molly Goldberg. And now, to relate tonight's exciting story, here's the brilliant mastermind detective himself, Shamrock Bones.
Since this case comes from number 67,900 in my many files, I have aptly titled this adventure Case Number 67,900. The story which I am about to tell you is one of horror and suspense, so frightfully unbelievable that even I find it hard to believe. It all began back in the summer of 1921. That's when a happy young married couple by the name of Martha and Patrick Bones were presented with a bouncing baby boy, whom they named Shamrock. That's me. I grew up pretty fast, and just a few months ago, right after my 29th birthday party, I was sitting in a cell in the county jail. I was waiting out a 10-day sentence for using a slug in a parking meter. I had refused to pay the fine. After an uneventful morning, the turnkey came to my cell and said to me in a low, comforting voice,
"Hey, you slob, wake up. There's somebody here to see you."
"What? Oh, company. Who is it?"
"I'm Mr. Mortimer L. Finch, so put on your shoes and straighten up that bunk a little bit."
I got up and started to straighten my bunk. As I folded the many sheets and blankets and as I puffed the pillows, I thought to myself, "This is a lot of bunk." I finished just as the turnkey opened my cell and let in an elderly man in a gray business suit. The elderly man had money written all over him. I wondered where he'd gotten such a suit. I'd never seen anything like it before. Money written on the lapels, the sleeves, and the back of the suit. I thought. I looked him over carefully. He was about 6'2", had gray hair, and sported a peculiar-looking red beard. He returned my glances with wide-eyed suspicion. Finally, he spoke.
"Are you Shamrock Bones?"
"I am. And I certainly never expected to see anyone like you in here. What are you in for?"
"Just a few minutes. I want to talk to you, Mr. Bones. I have a very dangerous job I'd like to hire you for."
"Okay, I'll be out of here in about 3 days. Is that soon enough?"
"No, I'll need you right now. I'll pay your fine and get you out of here if you'll take the case."
"Fine. Where's the bottle opener?"
"Don't be jocular, Mr. Bones. Be serious."
"I'm not jocular. Just a little heavy, that's all."
"Oh, why don't you shut up?"
"Excuse me, I sort of got carried away. Now, about this job, what do I do?"
"I'm glad you asked me that, because it gives me an excellent opportunity to tell you."
"Please do."
"All right. You see, Mr. Bones, I live in a haunted house."
"What a coincidence. So do I. Did you ever see that landlady of mine? What a tragedy. Man, oh man, that's just what she looks like. A man, you know, no kidding, this is really a pitiful place. Is there something wrong, Mr. Pinch? You're turning purple."
"The name is Finch, not Pinch, and yes, something is wrong. I think I came to the wrong man for help."
"Oh no, Mr. Clinch, you're never wrong when you come to Shamrock Bones for help. There's not a better private detective in the business."
"Then what are you doing in jail?"
"Well, after all, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink."
"What has that got to do with you being in jail?"
"Well, nothing, but it's a pretty clever line, don't you think?"
"Mr. Bones, are you quite finished?"
"Quite."
"Good. Then I shall continue. As I was saying, I live in a haunted house. Or at any rate, I think it's haunted. I don't know for sure. You see, there's one room on the upper floor which my father warned me never to open. It had been locked for hundreds of years, he said, and only horror and terror lay behind it. Well, up until a few months ago, the room was kept locked. But then an inquisitive butler picked the lock and entered the room. Almost immediately thereafter, he hurled himself out the window and fell 4 stories to the concrete pavement below."
"Was he hurt?"
"He died. And I still don't know what he saw in the room. Since then, I've been unable to lock the door, and several other people have entered the room. And each either committed suicide or went crazy with the shock of seeing whatever it is that's in there. I myself have been afraid to enter the room, and I don't wish to have anyone else meet the fate of those others."
"Say no more, Mr. Lynch. I know exactly why you're here. You need a man with iron nerves who won't go berserk when he gets inside that room. A man who's accustomed to danger and sudden death. A man who's afraid of nothing. In short, you want a man with guts."
"Exactly, Mr. Bones."
"Then your search is over. I am that man." Mortimer paid my fine, and we left the jail together. He had a sleek new roadster parked outside over the fire hydrant. We quietly took a drink and then sped down the road to his house. It was a 4-story building that looked like an ancient castle in miniature. As we pulled up in the highway, Mortimer turned to me and said,
"Where's my place?"
Page 5, line 6.
"Oh, I see. Well, here we are, Bones. Are you sure you want to go through with this?"
"Shamrock Bones never backs down on any job, no matter how dangerous."
"Good. I have confidence in you. But I don't think I can ever thank you enough."
"Oh, yes, you can. My fee is $100 an hour."
"Oh, well, let's get on with it then."
We went inside the house and rode up to the 4th floor in the dumbwaiter. Mortimer's elevator operator quit when the last person to enter the mysterious room tried to strangle him to death. We climbed out of the dumbwaiter and went down a marble-floored hall. Finally, Mortimer stopped in front of a massive oak door and said,
"Well, this is the place, Bones. I can't go any farther with you. In fact, I'm going to close my eyes when you go in, so I won't have a chance to see the frightening thing which must be in there."
"Then you'd better close them now, because I'm going in."
"Mr. Bones, are you sure you won't change your mind? I won't blame you if you do."
"No. Remember what I said. Shamrock Bones never turns back. I've got guts." "I guarantee you, Mr. Wince, that no matter what happens, no matter what I find behind that door, I shall live long enough to tell you what's inside. And now I think it's time I opened the door and went inside."
"Wait till I close my eyes. All right, they're closed.
Here goes."
Goodbye, Shamrock."
"Shamrock! Shamrock! What is it? Did you see what was in there?"
"Yes, I saw it."
Well, pull yourself together, man. Tell me what you saw."
It was horrible. Terrible. Just awful, I tell you."
"But what was it? What did you see in there?"
I saw...
Yes? What did you see?"
I
saw half of a photograph, and it took my breath away. For that face on the photograph was my love of yesterday. It was only half a picture. There was still another part, but somebody tore that picture like the way she tore my heart. Somewhere I'm on the other hand. If you find it, you will see that her half of the photograph has a smile she meant for me."
We've done it again. Due to an unfortunate overestimation of the demand for sleighs to be sold this winter, we now have in Bigelow's Bargain Basement 7 genuine one-horse open sleighs, which must go.
Yes, because we are making room for a shipment of Indian tomahawks, these sleighs must go, and Bigelow's is offering them to you at the laughably low price of $259.95, tax included.
Now, due to a slight mishap in manufacture, these sleighs are not quite the same as other sleighs which you may have used. As a matter of fact, these sleighs have only one runner in the middle of the sleigh.
But don't despair. To rectify this error, Bigelow's has built onto each and every sleigh an axle and a pair of rimless spokes, which will not only keep the sleigh upright, but which will dig into the ice and prevent skidding as well.
And that's not all. As an added attraction, Bigelow's is also giving away, if you're one of the first six people to order, a genuine one white stallion horse to pull your sleigh.
Now, due to an error on the part of the breeder, some of these stallions have only three legs. However, if you should happen to receive a three-legged horse with your sleigh, Bigelow's will give you another horse with only one leg to run along beside him and even him up.
So don't wait, folks. Go to your telephone and call or write immediately. Just call Tuxedo 3-0-0-0-1. 1-4-8-0-6-3-5-8-2.
That's Franklin 7. So call that number now, folks, and when Mr. Bigelow answers, simply say,
"You slay me." Well, so much for our commercials, Dan. Right?
Right. What have we got next?
Well, we have this is a portion of our program of the Hector Q. Peabody Show where we have our friendly little interview. And this afternoon, this evening, or this morning, whichever it happens to be, we have a very distinguished guest in our studio, an authority on fruits and vegetables, Mr. Newton P. Apple. Mr. Apple.
Ah, please call me Newton. Let's not be so formal.
Why, certainly, Newton, if that's what you prefer.
Yeah, that's what I prefer. Yeah. Well, do you want to ask me some questions?
Yeah. I mean, yes, we do. Tell me, Newton, how long have you been in this profession?
What profession?
Oh, the fruit and vegetable business, of course.
Oh, all that. Well, I'd say about 30 or 40 minutes, you know, like that.
Oh, I see. Well, tell us, Newton, have you developed any particular skills through your experience as a vegetable and fruit specialist?
Oh, yeah. I can tell any kind of fruit or vegetable by just looking at it.
You mean that just by seeing the food you can tell what kind of fruit or vegetable it is?
Yeah, that's right. It's simple, really. I just...
Well, go ahead. Tell us how you obtained this unusual talent.
Well, it came to me in a dream one night.
Oh, I see. Well, Newton, suppose we give you the acid test.
No, just fruits and vegetables. I can't tell one acid from another. I'm no scientist, you know.
No, Newton. That's just an expression. See, what we mean is we're going to show you some various fruits and vegetables, and then you'll try to identify them for us.
Oh, yeah, I know, sure. That's very good. Go ahead.
Well, all right, Newton. What is this?
A banana.
Well, that's right. It is a banana. Now, what is this?
That's a potato.
Well, you're right, Newton. It is a potato. Well, here's another one now, Newton. What is this?
That's a hard one. I think it's a pear.
Right again, Newton. It is a pear. Now, here's one more. What is this?
Oh, boy. Is that corn?
No. Try again.
Barley?
No. Come on, Newton. Think hard.
Don't tell me. Oh, I know. It's an apple.
Well, no, Newton. It's not an apple.
It's not?
No.
Well, what is it?
Newton, don't you honestly know?
No. What is it?
Why, it's a fig, Newton.
Thank you.
It's thrilling, it's exciting, it's tremendous.
It's Daryl F. DeMille's new action thriller from South Africa.
King of the Wild Pygmies.
You'll see the wild, mad, impetuous love of two lions.
You'll see a fight between a pygmy and an African beetle.
You'll be amazed at the struggle of the oversized gargantua in the underweight television comic.
King of the Wild Pygmies.
The most soul-stirring motion picture to come out of Hollywood since Daryl F. DeMille's Lucy Goes to Honolulu.
King of the Wild Pygmies.
A story of true love in the jungle of South Africa.
In CinemaScope, Cinerama, 3D, an ordinary flat screen.
Now playing at the Jungle Theater.
King of the Wild Pygmies.
What's that?
Well, Lulu is coming and she arrives today.
Gotta get my old tuxedo pressed. Gotta sew a button on my vest, 'cause tonight I gotta look my best. Lulu's back in town. Got to get a half a buck somewhere. Gotta shine my shoes and slick my hair. Got to get myself a boutonniere. Lulu's back in town. You can tell all my pets, all my little coquettes, Mr. Otis regrets that he won't be around. You can tell the mailman not to call. I ain't coming home until the fall, and I might not get back home at all. Lulu's back in town. All my little coquettes, Mr. Otis regrets that he won't be hanging around. So you can tell the mailman not to call. I ain't coming home until the fall, and I might not get back home at all. Lulu's back in town. Lulu's back in town. Lulu's back in town.
Well, that ends the Hector Q. Peabody show for today.
Hector wasn't here, but we expect him to be back next week because his vacation will be over.
Well, I hope he does come because I'm sick and tired of him. He's such an ungrateful wretch anyway.
Yeah, but don't forget, while he's gone, you can go out with his secretary.
Well, yeah. Gee, Dan, I hadn't thought of that.
See?
Sure, Lulu's back in town, huh?
Right.
Hey, that's all right.
How about closing the show?
Yeah, that feels much better now. Well, this has been the Hector Q. Peabody Show. Joe Abriscato at the controls. And choreography by Marjorie Main. Gowns by Mike Hammer.
And sounds by Marconi.
This is Chuck Shaden speaking.
And Dan McGuire.
And we want to remind you that this has been
a CLS production.
Hector's gone, but Lulu's here.